Web Services.
Welcome to the Cloudonaut podcast. We are your hosts, Andreas and
Michael Wittig. This podcast is all about AWS, and we share our insights in our day-to-day work with AWS. This is episode number 68, and we are recording this on January 2023. So in case you're watching this live on YouTube, feel free to send us your questions in the chat, and we will answer them at the end of the stream. Besides that, if you want to get in touch with us, feel free to send us an email or reach us on Twitter or LinkedIn or wherever you can find us.
Okay, and before we start, here's a message from our partner. Are you looking for a new job? AWS expertise is in high demand. Our partner Demicon is looking for a cloud operations lead working remotely from Germany or the EU. Lead a growing team of cloud architects and DevOps engineers. And if that sounds interesting, then this is for you. So manage service delivery, hire new team members, stuff like that. Demicon is one of the largest technical consulting teams and leading Atlassian full service providers here in Germany. So join Demicon building their new business unit with a focus on cloud technologies. You will find all you need in the video description and the show notes, so check it out, and if that's for you, apply today.
So let's start with what we did last week, and I will start with one thing that is not too much AWS related. It was still important for us. So we celebrate years of being in business, basically, as AWS consultants, and I can like maybe share a little bit of the story. So when we started the company 8 years ago, we had basically no idea that this AWS thing will work so well. So that's why we started with three, I think, pillars. So we had AWS consulting in mind, we had mobile app development in mind, as well as web development. So those were our three areas where we had expertise. And we didn't know yet which of those areas are in most demand, basically. But Andreas, we quickly figured out that AWS consulting is the thing that we should focus on, right? So I think very quickly we focused on that area. So that included writing the book, that also included Cloudonaut.io, our blog that we hosted at that time as well already, and also working with clients. So this was for quite a long time our main focus. And then we also tried quite from the beginning, but not very successful, to be honest, to create products. So we started a couple of things. We also closed lots of them before, or like a couple of years then later. But today, we don't do much AWS consulting anymore as well. So what we do now is we create products that are somehow related to AWS. So for example, we have BucketDB, which is an Azure antivirus solution for MS3, Marbot, which is a monitoring solution AWS, by using Microsoft Teams as the interface. Of course, we also have Cloudonaut Block, the YouTube channel, which we still update and add new on. This is now going on for 8 years. That's kind of story. And the first time that we celebrated our anniversary, this was the first we did it, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe I think one thing that is very interesting of the story, because from the beginning, we did consulting, and this was basically the thing to get the cash flow up and running. But always our goal was to build and sell software products. And so over time, we always tried to dedicate 20 or maybe a little more of our time to build things instead of doing consulting work only. And it took us about 7 years until this worked out, and nowadays we have transitioned from consulting to to software products, which is really cool, and I enjoy it a lot. Yeah, so Michael, up to the next 8 years, I would say. And let's continue with more AWS relevant topics. So Michael, a few weeks ago, I was frustrated because I tried to upload a huge amount of data from my external disk to S3. Because over the past month, we have been recording a lot of video content. So especially our weekly show is just adding every week, I don't know, a few hundred gigabytes to my disk. And so I wanted to archive that data to get rid of it, because probably I will never use it anymore. But I don't want to throw it away, because I might want to edit some things later or stuff like that. So I wanted to upload it to S3, but it turned out that doing so is really frustrating. I tried to upload it with the AWS CLI, and then, I don't know, things like my internet connectivity resets every day, or my credentials from AWS SSO are only valid for, I think it's 12 hours and stuff like that. So long story short, it was really a nightmare to upload all that data, and I was frustrated about that. So I decided, oh, let me order an so-called AWS Snow Cone. And the Snow Cone, Michael, is it's a device of the size of a tissue box, I would say. And you can use it to upload data to S3. That's basically how it works. So the Snowball, I think, was the first device that AWS launched. And then later they announced a smaller one, the Snow Cone. And so I ordered such a Snow Cone device. So it's very simple. You go to the AWS Management Console, create a so-called job in the Snow Family service, and then basically by doing so, you order the Snow Cone device. Then UPS arrived at my door and handed over the Snow Cone. And then I tried to get it connected to my MacBook. So basically what you have to do is you have to unlock the device, you mount an NFS share, and then you use NFS to transfer your data to the device. So this was what I've been doing. Actually this was a really fun thing, because I uploaded, I think it was around a terabyte of data, which I uploaded to the Snow Cone device. So a lot of data laying around on my external disk. I moved it to the Snow Cone over an Ethernet connection, which was very fast. Then I dropped it off at the UPS shop nearby, and 2 days or 2 or 3 days later, it arrived at the AWS data center in Ireland, and then AWS copied the data from the device to the S3 bucket, as you imagine, so very flawless. And now the data is archived on S3 and there in case we need it, or or just laying around if you don't need it. But my external disk is now free for future recordings, which I enjoy a lot. So yeah, I think I never had a use case for it, and I'm happy that now I had. it was fun. Maybe one thing that I didn't expect or I didn't thought about is, so this whole thing costs. So ordering the smallest Snow Cone device is $60 for the job. And I think there is included is 5 days of the Snow Cone device being on site at our place. And but the AWS pricing page says plus shipping. And actually, there was no information about how much shipping will cost. And what I didn't think about is that because I ordered the device in the region Ireland, I think the device came from Ireland and was sent back to Ireland. And the data was imported there. So shipping was, compared to the $60 for the device, quite expensive. So around $90 for shipping the device from Germany to Ireland and back and forth. So that's at least what we see on our AWS bill. Maybe when I do it next time, it would make more sense to upload the data to a bucket in Frankfurt, which is much closer to where we are located. But other than that, I think this was really cool. I will definitely do it again. And I recorded an how-to video, how to use AWS Snowcone to upload data to S3. So I will release that later today. And if you're interested in the details and how to do that, check that out.
I know that this is how it works, but it's kind of crazy. So the device itself is not packaged in any way. So they send the device as it is to you. So there's no packaging around it. So that's really cool. So I think you mentioned that the UPS person was really also surprised about what he shipped to you here because it looks quite cool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He wanted to know what this is all about. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really cool. The whole process seems to be very, very streamlined, automated probably in many ways. So really cool stuff.
All right. So Andreas, I worked on something that I want to share as well, and it's related to the SSM agent. So what we do is we have a very few EC2 instances running, but we have a few running. And what we do there is we use the SSM agent, like we have the SSM agent installed on those devices, and then we use what is called SSM Patch Manager, which is basically, I would say, a maintenance window that triggers a document that then installs patches according to a default patch baseline that AWS defines. Okay, so that was working very well for a very long time. And out of a sudden, a couple of months ago, this maintenance window was failing, and we received alerts in Marbot because it was an event, a bridge event was sent out, and Marbot catches that and forwards to our Slack channel. And I was kind of wondering, okay, what's going on here? And I first problem is there is like the logs are really, it's not so easy to actually get the logs. So by default, you see some logs in the UI, in the AWS SSM UI, but they are truncated after I don't know how many characters. The problem is with the patch manager document, it dumps out a lot of not important stuff. So that basically everything that's important is truncated, and because there's so much stuff that is printed out before. So I had to first figure out how to get access to the logs. And then it turns out there are basically two ways. You can configure it in a way that it logs to an S3 bucket or to a CloudWatch logs. Stream. So I did that and I looked into the log stream and I still couldn't find any information why it's not working. I mean, I could see there is something going on, but I couldn't see why it's failing. And then I was frustrated and I just closed the alert and said, okay, maybe this will go away automatically in the same way that it appeared. But of course it didn't, right? So next week, because it runs every week, I received the same alert, and then I just closed it. I was not interested in looking at it again. And then again and again and again. And suddenly last week, this week actually, on Monday, I looked into the logs once again. And this time I was more lucky because I saw something that sat out of memory. And I think I never saw that before because the agent basically always crashed before it could ship the logs. But this time, for some reasons, I was lucky. And I saw that this is related to memory. And turns out that the instance is a very tiny one. It's a T3 nano instance. So it has, I think, half a gig of memory. So what I did is I created a swap file. I mounted a swap file, like a 1 gigabyte swap file. And then it's working again. So basically what they did is, for some reasons, I don't know if they updated the SSM agent or if just the patch manager thing is growing and growing and growing. But for some reasons, we were running out of memory, and that's why it was not working anymore. And we couldn't see that it was running out of memory because the log was not shipped anymore, because there was no memory anymore and the process died. Yeah, so that's it, Andreas. I finally fixed it, and I hope we have now an up-to-date EC2 instance for the next couple of years without any further debugging from my side. And I will share I can share the commands to create such a small file because it's kind of, we use it in a couple of places. So yeah, I mean, it's not very performant or anything, but it's just like, it's a quick fix and sometimes it just helps you to get the job done. Yeah. So I will share the commands in the description after the recording.
So I have one more thing for this week. Last week I was working on some Terraform code, and I stumbled upon something that I I just didn't know about. So I had the issue that I was using the Terraform AWS module for VPC that Anton is maintaining. And there, Anton, some way in the past, Anton moved that thing to a submodule. So this is a submodule Terraform module that you can use to create those VPC endpoints. And basically, the module expects a map for all the VPC endpoints that you want to create. So I don't know, the key is, for example, S3, and then you have properties in there for specifying the details for the VPC endpoint. And I was working basically a template or another Terraform module acting as a wrapper for the VPC module to make sure it is used in a streamlined way for an organization. So basically that it fits into the whole VPC networking setup in this enterprise context. And I tried to basically generate those VPC endpoints out of a list. So I just wanted to have a list of the VPC endpoint services that I want to activate, and then I wanted to generate this map structure out of it. And I was struggling with that and trying things out. And then I found that Terraform actually supports a for expression. So basically you can build for loops inside the Terraform configuration code. To me, it was a little counterintuitive because, Terraform is that declarative language, and I didn't expect that I can do for loops in my configuration code, basically. But it actually works very well. So I will put a link in the show notes and video description. So in case you are stumbling upon things where you want to iterate over a list and build more complex structures out of that, that's really handy. And I was able to achieve my goal. And on a more general level, I think the interesting observation the realization I made is that Terraform is actually, so when you compare it to CloudFormation, which is really most of the time really straightforward, it's just the YAML or the JSON, and there are not too many things similar to a programming language in there, right? But I think Terraform is going or has many aspects of a real programming language, and that's maybe I think that is kind of interesting. So actually, Terraform is maybe something a mixture of what we have with CloudFormation and what we have with the CDK. And I think the interesting thing maybe is that it's easy to use for those who are not familiar with programming, but it also has that capabilities for those who are familiar with for loops and stuff like that and can do more advanced stuff with Terraform. So I found that an interesting observation. Okay, Michael, so I think that's it for this week, or do you have anything else on your agenda?
No, that's it. That's all I learned, and I kind of the problem is also I have also to take notes that I don't forget about it before the weekend. So yeah, that's all I have actually on my list.
Very cool. So we will be back next week. In the meantime, subscribe to your newsletter, podcast, or YouTube channel to make sure you're not missing the upcoming shows.
Yes, and also we thank our supporters who make this basically possible. So if you enjoy our podcast or the videos, then please consider supporting our work. And you can, we support recurring or one-time donations, and it really helps us to keep this thing going. And it also motivates us greatly that we see so many supporters already. So it's really cool. You will find the details in the show notes as well. All right. Thanks for your attention and your comment as well. So I hope you will learn something, and at least you can avoid the high shipping costs when you order your snow cone or snowball device. I don't know about the truck, actually, Andreas. I don't know how much shipping that costs, but maybe you should actually ask someone before you order it. So it could be expensive. So yeah, I think that's it, right, Andreas? So have a great day. Bye.
Bye.